This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song. Love me do, I think it was, but from there it didn't take him long. Got himself a guitar, used to play every night. Now he's in a rock and roll outfit, and everything's all right.
7:52 on your Thursday morning, New York City. Sunny out right now. Going to be cool the next 3 days. Highs, I guess, flirting with 60. Back in the 70s. Sunday in the 80s. On Monday, we're getting there, folks. Summer right around the corner. It is summer already in Jerusalem. The weather is hot. But a very, very sad day. When I say very sad day, let me change that. Mixed emotions. If you didn't see it yet, there was a video that the scumbags Hamas released yesterday with Hirsch Goldberg Polin. You remember? Arm blown off, thrown in the back of a pickup truck October the 7th. And his mom, his dad, John, too, but basically his mom, Rebecca, has been the most outspoken of all the hostage parents over the last 8 months, 7 months. And now it turns out he's alive. There's a video of him. You can see the arm not there. He looks skinny, looks gaunt. He doesn't have that curly hair anymore. Now he's got a very short cropped haircut. He actually said in the video, I was arrested on October the 7th. And he talked about how Israel's army is losing the war, how Bibi should be ashamed of himself. It was Hamas propaganda at its very best. Very, very tough to watch. Just over 3 minutes. He did say, Mom and Dad, I love you. Mentioned his sister's names. Again, very disturbing, tough to watch. But at least he's alive. In fact, here's his mother, Rachel Goldberg, in a video message she did yesterday talking to her son, Hirsch. Lou, cut number 13.
And Hirsch, if you can hear this, we heard your voice today for the first time in 201 days. And if you can hear us, I am telling you, we are telling you, we love you, stay strong, survive.
So my friend Alex Trayman, who's on this show all the time, the CEO of JNS.org, I tell you folks, every week, there's no better place to keep up with the news in Israel, whether it's conflict with Hamas, Iran, it doesn't matter. JNS.org is the best in the business. Alex is the CEO, and Alex is very, very close with Rachel Goldberg. In fact, when I did my show live from Jerusalem, Alex had Rachel Goldberg live in studio with me for over 30 minutes, and that was a meeting I'll never forget. With that said, let's go live to Jerusalem, standing by on this Pesach holiday, my dear friend Alex Trayman. Chag Sameach, buddy. How are you?
Thank you. Happy Passover. I just need to correct the record. I'm not personally close with Rachel Goldberg, Hirsch's mother. I went to college with the individual representing the family for communications. So that's my point of contact there for you to get you
okay.
To Rachel Hirsch. But I'm not personally close with the family.
Not all that close personally. Okay. But I mean, you talked to her and her guy and you got him down there to see me. So let's get right to it. When I saw the video, I was happy for 1 second because, wow, he's alive. I thought for sure he was dead. He's alive. And then as I watched it and looked at him closely, it made me sad because he doesn't look anything like that kid on October the 6th. And then it struck me, too. He's still out there somewhere, and we have no idea where he is. What were you thinking?
Yeah, correct. I mean, first thing, to see the signs of life, I think, was very encouraging for the family, you know, who had to be wondering, and you and I have wondered as well, you know, whether Hirsch was alive and whether they were just, you know, keeping up this facade, you know, hoping, but possibly going to learn, you know, of a different fate at some point. So to be able to see him. Now, there's definitely questions about when this video was taken. Okay, we don't know if this video was taken this week. We don't know how long ago this video was taken.
He did say in the video, which of course doesn't mean anything because they script everything, that it's been 200 days, which could have been 2 days ago.
Exactly. You know, there's indication that it was for 200 days, but again, we don't know how long ago this video was recorded, if it was recorded 100 days ago. We really don't know that. But let's assume for a minute that it was recently recorded and released for this day. Then that's still, you know, it's a positive sign and indication probably for lots of other families and loved ones of hostages that their loved ones may still be alive in the Gaza Strip, because as time has gone on, we've gotten increasing indications that maybe less and less of the hostages are actually alive. So I think for a lot of people to see that that there are hostages living in this Gaza Strip, you know, furthers the resolve, furthers the belief in their return, and furthers also the desire to win a swift and decisive victory over Hamas.
He did say in the video, again, all scripted, I get it, that over 70 of the hostages were killed by Israeli fire, by their bombs. So should I take from that that they really are dead? I know Hamas did it, but they really are dead, even though he's blaming Israelis?
Yeah, I think that that is a potential clue there. If they're saying that 70 were killed by the IDF, it means that it could mean very well that 70 are dead. And shifting the blame. I mean, every part of that video was a scripted Hamas propaganda. And I think it's important to look and recognize that Yahya Sinwar, who's the head of Hamas in Gaza, the head of the military wing there, who spent a lot of time in Israeli jail, studying Israeli culture, Israeli television, is fluent in Hebrew. You know, they're watching the media in Israel. They know that the hostage families have linked up with the anti-Netanyahu protests and are putting pressure on Netanyahu's government. In that video, you see Hirsch basically echoing the same tropes that are being stated by protesters here in Israel. So obvious psychological warfare meant to tug further at the emotions of Israelis that have been saying the same things, and you're seeing the same thing in the United States on the college campuses. It's a lot of psychological warfare taking place, and the questions of how resolute are the Israelis here and the Jewish people in America, you know, to stand up to this psychological warfare.
Well, let's delve more into that psychological warfare, what's going on here as well. Let's put Alex Trayman on hold for just a couple of minutes, just a couple, and we'll go back once again live to Jerusalem. My friend, the CEO of JNS.org, Alex Trayman, continues the conversation on Hirsch Goldberg and what may be next for Bibi and Israel. Keep it right here.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC. If you've had an accident, trust Gabo Law, personal injury and medical malpractice attorneys with decades of experience who will provide the attention you deserve and deliver the best possible results in the shortest amount of time. Gabo Law has recovered millions for their clients and will be able to help you. But don't take our word for it. Read all of their 5-star reviews from former clients on Google, Avvo, and Facebook. Call Gabo Law today at 800-560-0214 for a free consultation, or email at info@gabolaw.com. Gabo Law, where winning is no accident. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Big hour coming up. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, makes his debut on this program, and Bill O'Reilly. I want to go back to Alex Trayman, the CEO live in of JNS, live in Jerusalem this morning. You know, you mentioned all the protests all over Israel, Tel Aviv mostly, and all the criticism that Bibi Netanyahu continues to get around your country and around the world. Even Nancy Pelosi a couple of days ago saying he's done a terrible job since October the 7th. And I just keep asking the same question. Why would Bibi even want this job? He can't win. He can't win because if he goes into Rafah and does what he should have done weeks ago and wipes out these murderous bastards and two Palestinian kids die, or God forbid a hostage dies, he's going to get raked over the coals again. How can Bibi Netanyahu possibly win?
Yeah, there's no way for him to win, honestly. I mean, the only way that he could possibly win is a very, very swift and decisive victory, whereby the entire nation of Israel recognizes that the war is over, that Hamas has been defeated, Hezbollah has been defeated, Iran has been defeated. But even that victory would be followed by tremendous, tremendous losses afterwards. And I don't think that Israel's even begun to see, you know, what the aftermath of this war is going to be. If we already see the pressure that's taking place politically against Israel now, and it's taking place in the public sphere at the university campuses on social media, you know, when people start to go inside Gaza later when the fighting is stopped and they see what's happened there, and I think that the political situation is going to intensify in Israel even further. So, you know, for Netanyahu, it's tough, but I'll tell you, you see a progression here. You know, at first, you know, historically people would say, you know, it's the Jews' fault, right? And then Jews got a little bit stronger and they started with calling it out anti-Semitism. And then the anti-Semite said, well, you know, we're not against Jews. You know, Jews are okay. We like some Jews. We have some Jewish friends, probably the ones that are not very affiliated, but Jewish nonetheless. But we're against Israel. So we're pro-Jew, but we're anti-Israel. And now people are, you know, then everybody started to catch on to realize that anti-Israel is the new anti-Semitism. So now you have people that are really anti-Israel saying, well, I'm not anti-Israel, but I'm anti-Netanyahu.
Yeah.
So you see this progression from anti-Semite to anti-Israel to anti-Netanyahu taking place. And he's the ultimate scapegoat for everything.
He really is. With that said, still going into Rafah, you think sooner than later, what's the situation there?
Yes, they're actually moving towards that. They're already setting up tent cities near Khan Yunis. They've purchased a lot of tents. They've already built a lot of tents. There's already pictures and some satellite pictures of these new tent encampments going up. And I would tentatively believe that within the next week to 2 weeks, you're going to start to see the citizens that are now holed up in Rafah being moved out step by step into this new encampment, and then you'll begin to see a military operation in Rafah.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, Iran, again, we know what happens. They come in. I still think the United States had their fingerprints all over it. Israel retaliates. Really, both were kind of lame, although the Iranian attack certainly could have killed a bunch of people just based upon the numbers of weapons and where they landed some of them. But in the end, it didn't look like either country really wanted to kill a bunch of people. Is it fair to say that right now that thing has been put to rest, or do you think that Israel still wants more?
I think that was the opening salvo. I really do. You know, the way this war is going, it's not like 1967. It's no six-day war over here. This is a war that, you know, has gone in Gaza now, you know, well over 200 days, just over 200 days now. And we're starting to see the beginnings of phase two with the direct attack from Iran last Saturday night and the retaliation by Israel. We don't know if that's the last attack from Iran. We don't know if that's the last retaliation from Israel, a sense that the country wanted to give its citizens here a Passover break, a holiday that they, I guess, deserve, even amidst the war. But we don't know what's going to be after. Meanwhile, we've seen the continued escalation. And, you know, we've talked about this already for months already. But there's just been this consistent building of pressure to Israel's north with Lebanon and Hezbollah there, and definitely a feeling that this war will move into Lebanon at a certain point, as it seems that any kind of diplomatic solution to that part of the conflict is not going to be efficient.
Final 2 minutes. You know, by the way, Passover was not perfect because Hamas put that video out purposely on Passover of Hirsch yesterday. But all these college campus deals, I was on Columbia's university, the campus Monday. Now we're seeing it. We've seen it at NYU in New York. Now we're seeing it at USC in California, University of Texas there too. And it's really ugly. I mean, it is really, really ugly. You guys in Israel see all this. Is it even more disheartening? I mean, you're still not really over October the 7th. You're fighting wars on all these different fronts. Now you got Joe Biden, Anthony Blinken, and the United States really stabbing you in the back. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, almost every day, every day. And now you got the kids on college campuses basically cheering on the murderers. How disheartening is it for you folks in Israel?
Well, it's a bit disheartening for people that weren't aware that this has really been the Hamas strategy all along, and that they have been working on the college campuses is something I've been aware of with organizations like Students for Justice in Palestine and their Jewish cohorts like Jewish Voice for Peace and If Not Now and others. They've been working to undermine the pro-Israel narrative on the university campuses for a long time. And Hamas never, ever expected that they could beat the IDF on the physical battlefield in Gaza. But they did think that they could beat Israel diplomatically. They believed that they could beat Israel in the realm of public opinion. And they have been laying the ground for this moment for decades. And unfortunately, I would say that people in Israel didn't take it as seriously as they needed to. And certainly the American Jewish communal establishment did not do what was necessary to nip this in the bud at the beginning. And they are now seeing the results of their inaction a long time ago. And quite frankly, I don't know how you correct it at this point. You can make the protest stop. This is a coordinated effort. But you know, you can put the cat back in the bag for the time being, but as we've seen in Gaza, where you know flare up after flare up after flare up, and temporary ceasefire. If they get it to stop now, it's just going to be a temporary ceasefire until the next time. So I don't really know how you solve this problem.
I don't either. I said the same thing a few days ago. You can get Shafiq to resign at Columbia. So what? You know, Gay resigned at Harvard. They're still having issues. Dov Hyken said it best a couple of days ago. Never forget. Has become, we forgot. Alex, great job as always. Continued happy and healthy Pesach. We'll talk again next week. I love you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Sid.
All right, Alex.